Here, this is the March 1st, 2022 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have quorum, so I'm convening the meeting. Secretary R. Paul, will you please take the minute? Take the roll.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Nick Arena? Chris Corey?
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
Kim Kaufman?
Here.
Julia Kennard?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden? Sean Kelly McPherson?
I am here.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Susan Young?
Here.
Okay, that's nine.
Thank you, R. Paul. Didn't I hear James McFadden earlier? Apparently not. Okay. All right, then. So we will now
Does anybody have his email or something to make sure he knows?
Well, I did speak to him. He said he had engagement, engagement, some of us know already. Let me just say this. As some of us know, the results of the PNB committee elections were just announced earlier this afternoon. And so we have some new members, but James already had a previous engagement, so he may not be able to be here. And I had previously heard from Nick Arena that he couldn't be here.
Okay.
So let's go ahead with adopting the agenda. I'll read the agenda. It's a very short one tonight. Convene meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Roll calls, number two. Number three is adopt agenda. Number four is chair's announcements. Number five is review the WBAI fiscal year 22 budget. WBAI GM Bertol Raymer is presenting, 90 minutes. Number six is budget timelines and schedule for NFC review of budgets for fiscal year 22. Still haven't fixed that. 5 minutes. Number seven is adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Is there any discussion? I'm going to move that we pass that agenda. Is there any discussion? Additions, subtractions?
Are we really talking about this? I'm sorry, it's Julia.
Go ahead, Julia.
Are we really talking about the schedule tonight?
You mean the budget timelines?
Yes.
In case there are any updates. That's a budget item. This is a special meeting for budget, so we can keep that one in. You know, it's only 5 minutes. We don't really have to do it. There's no new information. It'll go quick. Any other discussion, questions? Hearing none, we'll consider this budget adopted. that'd be nice, wouldn't it? This agenda adopted. And now we have the chair's announcements. So tonight we will review the WBAI fiscal year 22 draft budget. Intensive work is going on to produce appropriate draft budgets for our remaining five budgeted units. The executive director, the CFO, and the NFC chair are working together to produce realistic budgets. The CFO is working very hard with everyone involved and is working on the fiscal year 21 audit and keeping the financials updated. These efforts are happening every day. Tonight, we are joined by two new members, Susan Young from KPFT and James McFadden from KPFA, and several returning members as a result of the PMB committee election results being announced earlier today. As tonight is a special meeting authorized to work on budgets only, we will introduce the new members at our next meeting. There are no other new announcements. So that brings us to number five, review of the WBAI fiscal year 22 budget. WBAI General Manager Bertol Raymer is presenting. I marked this for 90 minutes. We may or may not take all of that. That leaves us a few minutes to extend if need be. Bertol, you have the floor. Well, may I just, before you take the floor, let me just make sure everybody has the budget and can see the budget in front of them.
Got
okay,
it.
Okay, go ahead, Bertel.
Good evening, everyone. And thank you for inviting me to this committee to present this budget. I think I'm going to go very fast, break down the process we went through, and so that we can have a lot of questions and answers. Basically, WBI has been preparing its budget and then going back and forth with the local finance committee since for at least 6 months now, and Upper can correct me. So we've been going back and forth. We went over the revenue first because it's a little easier, and then we went over the expenses. Basically, what happened at the local finance committee is that they did not want to approve the budget because it was a deficit budget, but they didn't have any suggestions of any cut or increases because it seemed to be very much a budget that was realistic. But that budget had a deficit of $275,000. And that deficit was actually higher because the consultants were not entered properly. They were entered initially into the salary, and they were removed and put in consultant and back and forth, and then some of it got left out. So then the budget went to the WBI local station board, and they basically agreed with the local finance committee. They said that they're not approving the budget, but they are voting to send the budget to the National Finance Committee, and then they made some suggestion of some basic cuts that were not much, that were realistic, but not much. So I was talking to this budget and been discussing this budget with Julia, James Sargerton, and then Stephanie step in a bit. And it's been going on for a while. So I've been looking at every single line item on this budget for a very long time, and this is what the budget looks like. We are projecting, for the revenue, we're projecting $100,000 a month. That's about right. You know, we are trying to raise $3,250 per day out of three and a half, 4 hours a day. So we make up for it when we're short, and then, you know, we can actually increase it. What's good about this revenue stream is that if you know, when you have a regular fund drive, usually, you know, after 30 days, you know, you find out you're in deep doo-doo. But with this model, if you are falling behind in 1 week, you can just like step it up the next couple of weeks to make up for the differences. In fact, we're short a couple of thousands of dollars, and then we had something called the Tower Fund. We had a special fundraising to raise money to pay for the tower, and we raised over $80,000. You know, just people just donated. We had everybody pitching that. And so we are repeating that again this month. We are asking people to become sustained members in honor of Women History Month. And then we are offering that, by the way, to the rest of the network. We have clips of the Pacifica Radio Archives big drive in honor of Women's Day, and then we would like to increase our BI buddies by like $7,000. Now we already bring in $18,000 a month right now, you know, so that's our goal. Okay, so with that said, our listener support is projected to be $100,000, but we are projecting that as of May 2022, we will start raising $3,500 a day as opposed to $3,250. So we want to increase our revenue by $250 as of May. So we have between now and May to plan all of that and to make sure that we raise $3,250 per day. So that would give us a little increase in the budget. We have also increased our fulfillment rate. In the previous budget that we gave to the local finance committee, we had a fulfillment rate at 78.3%. We are just moving it up to 79.8%, even though the fulfillment rate right now is 88.3%. No, actually, last year was 88.3%, and this year is 87%. I just felt that by trying to be very optimistic, I wanted this to be a cushion so that, you know, I'm within my budgeted range. we have also incorporated corporate match. We believe that the and I'm talking about revenues only. We believe that the corporate match was $1,450 in November 2021. It will be $2,500 in December 21 and $5,000 as of May 2022, based on WBI contract with Double Your Donation. So Double Your Donation is a company we contracted with for $2,000 for the year. And that's why we actually joined Allegiance as per the suggestion of KPFA and KPFK and actually Markisha from Houston, that this software was compatible with corporate matching fund. Corporate matching fund would have been very difficult for us to do because you have to send an email and follow up with every single individual. But in this case, now going forward, everyone who gets who pledge gets a letter, an email, and then they get follow-up asking them to just drop down and find the company or the sister company that they're working for, and then they get to know if they have matching fund, and then they get to the process of applying for matching fund. So we believe that as this goes forward, a corporate matching fund will be at $5,000 per month starting in May. A BI Buddy has been steadily at $18,500 a month regularly for the past 2-3 years. Surprisingly, very, very steadily, no matter how much fund drive we do or no matter what's going on. It varies between 17 and 19, but it averages $18,500. We're putting it up at $20,000 as of March. Obviously, we're having this new campaign for Women's Month. And then we definitely are pitching every day. Every day we take a clip from the Pacific Ridge Archives, Women's Pacific Ridge Archives honors Women's Month, the 8-gigabyte drive. And we take a clip and focusing on someone specific. Today was about Shirley Chisholm. We played the clip and we played it throughout the day, like 7-10 times. It was at 3 minutes and 15 seconds. So we believe that's going to work. That's going to increase our BI Buddy as of March. You know, once it's increased, it stays up. So we conservatively estimating that we're going to increase by another 1,500. So that's just 100 new BI Buddy at about $15 in average. Theater tickets. David Rothenberg, as of October 21st, it was 3,500. We are projecting 6,500 as of March 2022. We posted 3,000 on February 2022 already, in one day. That is definitely going to happen. After a conversation with David Rothenberg, he assured us that is conversation with Broadway and theater companies, and the fact that Broadway has already opened, that we would definitely get like a huge increase in our theater tickets. So these things are, as far as I'm concerned, pretty solid. The thing that we have to push that's not proven, for example, the listener support, we have to increase that to 3,500. Gary Noll, actually, I spoke to him twice this past week, wants to do two events, but one of them is at the Symphony Space, where he's going to do a premiere of his movie. Only problem we're having is that we have to figure out how to work out the fact that you have to be vaccinated to get into this place, or you have to have a test 24 hours in advance to get into the theater space. So that is a work in progress. That is a lot of work in progress. Constable Latino is already working on the June 2022 event, SOBs, where we used to have two or three events a year, averaging 7,000, 7,500 per event, has opened. Has not really been that successful in February. They have opened, have had events. A few events were canceled because of different issues with the COVID situation. But I figured that by June, that everything will be wide open. And we are working on an event. So this is for the revenue. So then if you look at the revenue then, you will see that with the 3,500 per day. So as of May, our revenue goes up a little bit, and it stays there at 87,000. Of course, 87,000 isn't a sponsor. That's because I'm assuming 83% of I'm assuming 83% fulfillment rate. I mean 79.8% fulfillment rate, as opposed to 100%. So therefore, revenue comes to $1.5 million. 1587903. Then you go into your expenses. For expenses, that is a little more complicated. There's not much to cut. So, unfortunately. But first of all, before I talk about creating expenses and everything else, my strategy was like 2.5 years ago to start focusing on raising listenership so that we can be eligible for CPB money. I'm hoping that we'll get something close to $300,000 a year and a half from now because we have the listenership available. So, and that strategy is paying off. Our 7 a.m. morning shows have more people than Democracy Now, by far. Actually, Tuesday morning show has, in December, 5,200 people. Democracy Now has like close to 2,000. And at 9 p.m., we also have more people than Democracy Now. So from the 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., we have a pretty strong stream of listenership that we want to build on. And the same thing for the Leonard Lopez show at 2 o'clock following Gary Noll. We wanted to keep that audience on. He has plus or minus the same number of people as Gary Noll. And we have Margaret Prescott at 4 p.m. and 5 o'clock New York on steroid type, where we focus on New York, that have a pretty high listenership. So our strategy is working. So the few people that we give a few dollars to get this thing going, we think it would be, you know, it would not make any sense at all whatsoever. Being a year and a half away from looking for CPB money if we were to destroy what we have already built. So, however, we had no choice to cut the morning 6 a.m. show as of March 15th because, you know, even though they have increased their listenership from like 40, 60, 80 to 200 and change, the cost benefit is not as good as the 7 a.m. strip, where the numbers went from 200 to, like, as I said, 5,000, 3,700 and stuff. If you want those numbers from the Arbitron, we can make them available for you. So that part of the expenses I'm willing to fight for and push to keep whatever else we have besides this cut. From the 6 a.m. morning show. Then, you know, I added the expenses for the Gary Noll show and then the SOB event. We are looking into a potential $15,000 of cut in overtime for our board app. The number shows that our board app overtime expenses are $30,000 overall, and that we believe that everyone at WBI makes sacrifice, including the managers and the staff and the volunteers. So, if we have to, to suffer, that is the most logical thing that would that would cause the least pain to people. The overtime is like $30,000. So I'm put $30,000+. So I'm projecting a $15,000 cut, because there's always some emergencies that, you know, you want to, you know, you want to make, you know, you want to have a little cushion for. What that does is it gives us basically a budget of $92,741 in deficit for about $8,000 per month in deficit. That was basically a large improvement over initially something that was over $300,000. And that was thanks to the help of and the pressure from Julia and James, for sure. And that's what I'd like to do. I have all my spreadsheets available for you. We have the consultants, the descriptions of what they do. Our payroll is bare bone. We have three board apps, one from 5 a.m. to noon, one from noon to 7, and one from 7 to midnight. And on weekend, we have board apps from like 5 to 4 in the afternoon and from 4 to midnight. We have got two long shifts. And that's it. You know, after midnight, you know, we have people do their own board, or we have pre-recorded shows until 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. So that's been reduced completely. I think I am going to allow to be done here, and then leave the rest of the time for questions and answers, so that you can ask me where those numbers are coming from, or if you have the spreadsheet, you can just double click on the formulas. And they will send you to where the backup of all those numbers are. The revenue is more or less the same. It's slightly up. It's down from last year, but it's slightly up because of the 79% fulfillment rate, and then the projections of 3,500 in daily revenue. James?
Yes, thank you, Bertold. Before we go into questions, I'd like to just go over a few things and ask you to explain a little bit further so that everyone understands. We're using some abbreviations or acronyms for things, and I just wanted to make some clarification. So you talked about the deficit that you started out with, and I just want to make it clear, the deficit you started with was actually $324,000 with the consultants, not $272,000. It was $324,000 that you started at. Then you mentioned we're trying to make $3,250 a day, but that's current. I thought you had changed that to $3,500 a day, no?
Yes, that's what I said as of May 2022.
Okay.
So I'm giving us
very good. Good. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
And well, I'll ask you about fulfillment later. You know, we have a little disagreement about the fulfillment. You mentioned David Rothenberg. I just want to clarify for everybody. David Rothenberg has a show. What's the foundation he works with? I always forget it.
Fortune Society.
Right, where they work. He works with people coming out of prison, help them adjust. And he helps us fund WBAI by selling theater tickets. He gets theater tickets. I guess the theaters have tickets that are unsold, or, you know, they expect the house not to be sold out. He's able to get those tickets. And we use them as, I keep saying, sells, but we use them as thank you gifts for people who pledge. And in the past, Bertold, that's made hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the hope is that since Broadway has been shut down intermittently over the past couple of years, that will open up and that will spring back into action on that and have some good results. You also mentioned Concebor Latino, which is an event at SOBs. Concebor Latino is a show. They play Latin music on Sunday afternoons. They do a music event at something called SOBs, which is a venue where they have live music and dancing. And we do, we have traditionally done two of those a year, but again, with COVID, that's been slower. And finally, Bertel, you mentioned CPB money, and by that you mean Corporation for Public Broadcasting money for the community service grants. So, with that being said, Bertel, did you want to respond to any of that or add to any of that?
No, that's about it. And then the CPB money is not in this budget. Hopefully, I know we have a year and a half to go. But
right.
That was the logic behind my pushing to build listenership, which we have.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's a requirement to get those grants. I understand. Okay. Now let's go ahead and open it up to people. Bertel, do you want to open any of your spreadsheets and go over them one by one, or would you like to just open it up? Why don't we open it up for a round of questions, and then we can see what we want to dive into deeper as we go along.
Fast question on what we're doing.
Yes, our call.
Yeah. What we were sent an hour ago, maybe, or just a little while ago, comes up as a single spreadsheet of the budget. However, what I was sent last night was much fuller, and so we're only discussing, I guess, the single spreadsheet called the budget for FY22, and not the spreadsheet with the multiple tabs. I think, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. But we have that spreadsheet, so we can. I'm sorry. Who was that, Julia?
I apologize. The noise in my house. Sorry.
Okay.
Does everybody have the multiple spreadsheet one? A multiple tab one?
No.
Right. Well, this brings up an issue, because we've done other stations with basically not multiple tabs. So, you know, and other stations outright refuse to show anything about salaries. So I think that having the single tab of just the budget might be the way for us to go at this point, unless and until at some point somebody comes up with a real template that everybody follows. So we're all equal. So, yeah, one tab is fine.
And that's why we sent the one tab out. I think it's the one that you have that has the multiple tabs. Did you receive that from Berthold?
Yes.
Okay, see, he sent that to you and to James and to me, but I didn't.
Yeah.
He had the single tab is what I sent out to the committee.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to clarify, I remember that OPPO used to like to have the single tab to protect, you know, personnel information and all that stuff. So what I did is I sent one spreadsheet of the multiple tab and then one spreadsheet with the single tab to OPPO, James, Julia, and Stephanie, because I know that they are allowed to have those. And so I didn't know what were the rules, so I sent both version for whatever. I mean, I don't mind. Whatever it is that you want to discuss, I can discuss it. I don't have a problem. I'm assuming that the board is bound by secrecy, and then the general public is not going to see this. I thought this was going to be a Zoom meeting where the general public could see the whole thing. So I don't mind either way.
Yeah, just to be clear. You're correct in the people that you named who are, you know, able to see the salary information. And if we go into executive session at any time to discuss such information, the directors on the committee can review that, but we would have to get non-disclosure agreements signed by the treasurers who are not directors. And we're working on that with our corporate counsel to get some NDAs that we can sign so the committee can look at these things when necessary in executive session. So, is there anybody else with any other questions? Why don't we start with the narrative? Did anybody have any questions based on the narrative?
Before you get started, this is McFadden.
Yes.
I just called in. I just wanted to say hello. I didn't know there was going to be a finance committee that I could be involved in today. And I have family in town and have to go fix some dinner. So we'll have to get off now. But I didn't I think some stuff may have been sent out and I didn't get any spreadsheets or anything like that that would have been, you know, helped me follow along. And hopefully answering a few of these emails will get me for future meetings.
Yeah. Yeah, you do have that information in your email. And I did announce that you had a prior engagement. Nobody knew that those committee results were going to come out this afternoon. So it's, you know, this is unfortunate. These are the kinds of things that can happen. Thanks for letting us know you were here, though.
Okay, and I see that I do have those things, and I'll take a look at those.
Wonderful.
I hadn't checked that email yet. I look forward to working with everybody here.
Much appreciated. We'll introduce you at our next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So let's go back. We had started with the narrative, or I was hoping we would start with the narrative. Does everybody have that?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any questions based on the narrative? I know I have one. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah. Okay, basically, one second. Basically, what's happened is that you have from the original budget that was sent to the local finance committee at BAI, you've basically made $183,000 in making it be better. I mean, that's what it comes to. And if it's 324, it's even larger. But so basically, yeah. It's you've between cuts and projected extra revenue, it's going to be 183 grand better than what we saw in October, right?
Yes. You want me to go over it in detail?
No. It's large, and I guess that's what we're going to be seeing here. So, all right. We'll see how this works out.
Other questions based on the narrative?
This is Kim.
Hi, Kim. Go ahead.
I thought I heard somebody else.
I couldn't
Chris,
make it out.
It was me. It was me. But I'd rather wait for the spreadsheets, James. I just wanted to get on the stack. Thank you.
No worry. Yep.
Okay.
Kim?
Well, I'm just seeing a whole bunch more new revenue that's just basically been invented. I mean, there wasn't any last year, and there wasn't any of this in the first quarter of the year. So, you know, there's no precedent for any of this revenue. You know, the buddies and the corporate match and, those are the big ones. And I don't really understand if your fulfillment is basically 79.8, you know, somewhere between 79 and 80, but you're, saying you actually have 83%. I'm confused as to why you don't have a number.
Okay,
like
Kim, can we, Can we do these one at a time?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you have to.
what was your first? Can you reiterate what your first question was?
Oh, the first question is about sort of this new revenue, the corporate match, the BAI buddies. Let's see what else.
Theater tickets,
other events, the grants. I mean, I don't see how you got $350,000 last year under grants and bequests. Okay, well, that obviously is not something you can budget. So, you know, okay, so maybe the crafts. Okay, you're adding, like $65,000 to major donor. Although there's really nothing this year. Community events is, you know, maybe. And then the BAI buddy. I mean, it says that there was an actual last year, but I don't see it anywhere. And I don't see it anywhere in this year's P&L. And same with corporate match. So I just don't know where this new revenue is coming from and where it's ever historically been documented.
Okay, again, I think we're going to have to do those one at a time.
I'll deal with them.
Okay.
I know what you yeah. All right,
I
so
mean,
let's
you,
just go
you know what I'm saying, Bertold, right? I mean, you get
I
the gist of what I'm saying. Like, if this is new revenue, I haven't seen it before. There's no evidence of this. So, you know, I get that you're going to tell us why you think this is happening, but, you know, I'm not going to be convinced, I don't think.
Okay, we hope you'll keep an open mind, and we've got the question. So let's let Bertold answer it.
Thank you, James. That's what I was going to say. You have to keep an open mind. So let's start with the listener support.
No, I didn't question the listener support. I questioned all the other stuff.
Oh, okay. The full thing
I questioned the corporate match. I questioned the BAI buddies. Those are the real big ones. And I haven't seen any documentation from last year or this year to date from either of those big chunks of revenue.
Okay. So the fulfillment rate, April 1st, 2021 to December 31st, 2021, is 88.3%. I actually have printed the Allegiance fulfillment rate, and I sent that to Julia and James so that they can see it. And in January 1st, 2021 to February 28th, 2022, it's at 87.7% of fulfillment rate. I mean, obviously, because you know there are some checks that we haven't posted yet. So I can, you know, very easily say and with ease and then with no pressure say that my fulfillment rate is at about 88%. Now, I've always put it at 78.3% because I always wanted to cushion, had to have a cushion in case my fund drive doesn't work, you know, I have a balance, I have a little backup. So I just jacked it up to 79.8%, which I think is very conservative, considering that it's actually 88.3%. I put 83 here, but it's 88.3% in 2021 and 87.7% currently in 2022. Right? So 7.3%. So that's for fulfillment rate. As far as the corporate match, well, let's go to the BI buddy first. The BI buddy, I don't know if you don't see it. NEDA has it's very difficult for NEDA to see our BI buddy, but we do send them a report, and then Julia is very detail-oriented. We'll send her the report. We have all the members that are members of our BI buddy, and it averages $18,500 a month. And that's a factor. So I mean, I just understand as far as that is concerned, why that is.
Bertold, can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you just did, so go ahead.
Yes. Okay. Perhaps the issue is, if we look on column AH on the actual.
All right, Kim, if you're in the spreadsheet, we're going to have to shift over to that.
I am in the budget, James.
I was asking everybody to stick to the narrative with just general questions first. But if nobody has any other general questions, we can go over to the spreadsheet.
Well, nobody
has. Right, just give everybody a moment to go from the narrative over to the spreadsheet. Okay.
While that's happening, may I say something to Julia?
Sure. Yes, Julia, please.
As far as the BI buddies, some of the major gifts, that type of thing, that is not broken out because we don't receive the detail. I don't know what is BI buddies is. So that is on the financial statements. That is in listener support.
Yeah.
He just broke it out for his own fundraising plan.
Right. I'm seeing that on the budget, but I'm still on the between that and the P&Ls. Let's see. We're looking at year to date $140,000 negative year to date.
Chair, I'm confused.
That's not surprising. Well, I'm sorry, Julia. I mean, Julie. This is confusing because they don't match up between the P&L and the budget.
I'm sorry. Which P&L are you using? And I'm sorry.
I'm using the P&L that we received last week. That's the year to date as of January. So, you know, I mean, we're looking at a budget where we already have 5 months. No, four months. So we can see, is this budget, you know, adding up to what the actuals are? And if the budget's saying at the end of the year we're going to have a $92,000 deficit, but already we're at a $140,000 deficit as of, you know, 2 months ago, the end of January, well, you know, this is something we need to sort of take a look at, in my opinion, or that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. So this is not just a discussion of the budget.
Well, it is, but it's based on the reality of that we have 5 months of actuals to compare it to.
Right, but I think you're assuming that the actuals are going to stay the same as we continue, and the budget is presuming some increase in revenue based on things like SOBs, the theater tickets, other things that are opening up as we speak that will enable us to increase the revenue. So even though the budget, the deficit may be $140,000 now, we don't expect it to be there at the end of the year. Is that accurate, Bertold?
Yep, that's accurate.
Julie? Julia?
Where's the $140,000? That's what I don't understand.
Look on line 110. Look on one line 10 on the P&L, column AE. Year to date, it's $140,000 deficit. October was $52,000 deficit. November was $44,000 deficit. December was only $5,000. And January was a $37,000 deficit.
And so is that, I mean, but we're also looking at, I mean, if I'm looking at the budget, it's, you know, line 49 is the net income loss, and it shows negative numbers through January. That maybe it's not 149, but it's not. I just want to know how this is going to improve the budget.
This is
bad. Where this conversation.
The question.
But Beth, before you go ahead, I'd like to see if Julia or Bertolt can answer what Julie's concern is.
I'm happy to make a comment.
Go ahead, Julia. Bertolt, Julia.
I'll toss it to you. You know, we had a couple of options here, and this is probably the 10th version of this budget that we have worked on with Bertolt. And one of the conversations, one of the main parts of the conversation, and was one of my concerns was, is that we couldn't solely focus, we were not prepared to slash the expenses to the extent necessary to get a positive net income, because our concern was the damage that might do to listenership. And, you know, that doesn't mean that some slashing won't have to occur, additional slashing won't have to occur later, but at this point, our focus was cut as much as we can without up any potential for maintaining the listenership and maintaining or increasing revenue. The hope is that with the COVID seeming to getting a little bit under control, that you'll have more options. You know, Bertolt has been very open. I won't say we haven't had some stubborn conversations, but, you know, he has really been focused on the programming piece, what he can do differently there. And, so it's not pretty. And we knew what was going to be presented was not going to be pretty. Presenting pretty means that we're not being honest about the situation. It is an ugly situation, and steps are being taken to improve that. So it's more about reducing the negative than completely getting rid of it. There's just, at this point, we felt like that would be too damaging to the programming and the potential loss of listeners.
This is Kim. Can I be recognized, James?
Hold on a second. I want to see if Julia is finished.
Yeah, and I still have a question.
Okay. I better start taking a stack here. All right, I heard Kim, and then I heard Bertolt.
Yeah.
This is Beth. I still have a question before we go.
Sorry. Yeah, Beth, you had asked that earlier. Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, there was a set of questions put to Bertolt, and he began to answer those but didn't have a chance to finish. And I would like to know, could we go ahead and hear the rest of his thinking behind what he's presenting? It might help us make sense of what he's done with the numbers. I think if we ask him questions, we have kind of an obligation to hear the answers.
I appreciate that thought, Beth, and I'm gonna go to Kim, and then I'm gonna let Bertolt try to come in with some answers. Go ahead, Kim.
Look, I'm a realist, and I'm not suggesting. I'm getting an echo. Can people mute if they're not me? I'm not. I didn't expect this to be pretty. It shouldn't be pretty. I think that I would much rather deal with the reality than pretty, and it's something that we just have to really be conscientious about monitoring. You know, it's the same with KPFK. I mean, you can't make a balanced budget there. You just can't at this point. But we need to know what the real expectations are in order to really do due diligence. That's my outlook. So I'm not condemning any of this. You know, I just sort of just, this is what I'm seeing. These numbers here, I see, you know, difference. And that's what I'm looking at the reality of what it is. And that's, to me, my due diligence. So that's where I'm coming from. And I'm not criticizing. I'm not putting it down. I'm just like trying to make sense of what I'm seeing. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. So, Kim?
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So let's just go over the...
Hold on a second, Virgil. I'm so sorry. I was talking and I was muted. I just want to interject a little something here. And that is, you know, we could go based on actuals, but the actuals that we had for the last 2 years was COVID. And we can predict into the future that it'll always be COVID. And then we might as well just close up shop and go home. We are predicting some, and that's what budgets are. They are predictions of what's going to happen. True, we do have some actuals, but theaters are opening. SOBs is open now, so we can do some of these things that we couldn't do last year. So it won't show on the actuals because we didn't do events last year. So the history of this is older than just last year. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bertone.
All right. So let's just go over the Word document quickly. Kim, we definitely have $18,500 per month of BI buddy. And, you know, what you might want to challenge is either we're going to bring it up to $20,000 or we're going to leave it at $18,500. It's been $18,500 for a very long time. In your P&L, it's probably buried in the revenue, listener support, but we break it down. We have the numbers if you want. Well, I've sent all the numbers and all the members to Julia, and she can make a journal entry. We have that going back, way back. Concerning the corporate match, Kim, double your donation is something that we engage in December, and then it is a massive campaign, and then we've seen like a 1,400 matching fund as we started, and the numbers are going up, you know, as of December. So we are waiting to see how that works. Basically, every time somebody donates, they get a prompt to click, to look, to see, on a drop down to see if their company is on the list of matching donors. And then, if they click on their company, then there is a button they press and that starts the process of them applying for a matching fund. You know, I mean, if that works the way it's supposed to work for us, you know, matching funds should be at least 5 to 10% of listeners' donation. But we're not even going there. We're just saying that let's say as of May, it might be $5,000 per month. That's corporate match.
And that's based on a rate of increase that you've already seen, correct?
Yes, in December.
Okay.
Yeah. So the theater.
Sorry to interject. Sorry.
No, that's
go ahead.
And the theater tickets, that's obvious. I mean, I don't think there's nothing to explain there. That's the fact. If I go back to previous year, you know, you can easily see $5,000, $6,000 of theater tickets of David Rottenberg per month. He does $2,000 to $2,500 every week. And then as of March, we're projecting that might start. I mean, if you want to put it as of April instead and cut 1 month, so that we are cautious in case something COVID happens again, we could do that. So that is for that's the revenue. The events, as I said, the Garino premiere, we are waiting. We have two events with Garino, but we are waiting to see how we're going to deal with the vaccination thing. You know, in New York, you have to be vaccinated to go indoor events, or you have to have a test results and still wear your mask. So Gavin Hall is going to deal with that. I already told him he hasn't objected yet. We're going to see how that goes. But that is planned for April. One of them is planned for April. And then the Concert Ball Latino is already being planned. We do that. We did that regularly. We're going to actually do that every quarter and until COVID hit. So the 7,500 is a reasonable number. It could be 7,500. That's for the revenue. The listener support, we've been averaging 3,250 over month, like over a 12-month period. Some months it's lower. Some other months it's higher. You know, when we did the tower rent, and then we got $80,000 extra donation. Obviously, that increased our rate. So we're going to see what's going to happen in March, because we are really aggressively projecting this BI body sustained donor and honoring Women's Month in the age of the Supreme Court and all that stuff. So we think that's going to work. Then on reducing consultants, we definitely reduced. As of March 15th, we're reducing $2,300 per month. That's as of March, April, May, about 6 months. The overtime, I'm not sure if it's something that, I mean, obviously it's something that you can just say, you're not just giving overtime. I just say that overtime has to be approved, even though it's difficult for board apps and stuff like that, and that everybody has to pitch in. Overtime right now, last year was 30,000. We're projecting 15,000. So I believe these numbers can reasonably be attained with effort. I'd like to address your deficit from the first 4 months. I have a different number, so I have to take a look. I have to take a look at what our net has sent out to see what I'm missing, or if I'm missing anything, or if there's something that.
This is Julia. May I make a comment on that?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Julia.
Remember, in October, Berthold, we received a lot of invoices that were actually for prior year. And they have not been accrued back. We're still working on the audit. I'm just not sure how much that is.
So that's probably it. Because, obviously when we start making a little money, we pay previous invoices from the previous year, as we always in the deficit. But, I do accrue these things even though we don't pay them over the year. So what I have is a deficit of 38,000 in October, 46 in November, a surplus of 39 in December, and 48 deficit in January, for a deficit of 94,660. And that's without any implementation of these measures, the reductions of the 2,300 per month in the consultants, the overtime, and the increase of 7,000 per month in revenue through the increase of 3,250 to 3,500. So that's what I see. I see these are reasonably possible, but they're not going to be easy. So that, to me, that's the best I could do to give you a budget that that had a deficit, but that did not have something extraordinary. It was painful to cut the 6 a.m. The 6 a.m. slot, but that's where we're at.
Okay, Berto, can we say that we're done with the narrative now and go back over to the spreadsheet?
Yes.
There we can get into more numbers and
have something in front of us we can look at.